The podcast you are about to listen to is an unconventional one. Normally, I will do a podcast on maybe looking at things in a different way, or shifting a perspective to help you thrive, or maybe a little enlightening message, but this one is different. I am in the unique position of having my mother live with me. She's having some health challenges, 93 years old, and she and I decided together that there was a conversation that we wanted to have. There were some words of wisdom that she wanted to make sure she didn't leave locked inside of her before she left this earth. So we decided to do this podcast together so that she could share her words of wisdom with all of you, and I can have a treasurable keepsake for the rest of my life. And so this is that interview with my mother. All right, so the first question that I have for you is, what is your name?
D. Matthews.
And for all of you listeners out there, D. Matthews is my mother. Officially, her name is Dolores, but she goes by Dee. And Mom, how old are you right now today?
January? Right now today, I am 93 years old.
Okay. And at 93 years old, I have heard many people ask you, what is your secret to such a long life? What do you tell them?
I tell them you have to work hard, you have to be dedicated to whatever it is you're doing, expect to win in the end, and go for it. Don't follow anybody you don't want to follow. Do what you want to do because you want to do it and you want to be good at it. Little did I know, mine was going to be raise a family of 7 kids. But I did it. Mm-hmm. And at 93, I can sit back and take a deep breath and say, you did good. Mm-hmm. They're all happy, healthy, and they're doing, hopefully, what they want to do. Sometimes they have to do something else, but hopefully they do what they want to do. That makes me happy. That makes me 93 years old.
So, when you were a little girl, did you know you wanted to grow up and be a mom with lots of kids?
Yes. But I got what I wanted and then some.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Okay.
Okay, so question for you. When you were a little girl, let's just say 5, 6, 7, you were old enough to dream, but not so old that you were listening to everybody else. When you're 7 years old, you can dream all by yourself. How did you envision your life when you were 7?
There was never a time, even at that age, that I didn't want the typical picket fence, family, husband, come home for dinner. That was a long time ago. That was in 1930-ish, whatever. And it didn't just happen. It was kind of like given to me, and I loved it. Somewhere in there was a war. Somewhere in there, my mother became Rosie the Riveter. Somewhere in there, somebody had to take care of my brother and my sister. And guess who that somebody was? It was yours truly. And I loved it. Put my sister in the seat on the front of the bicycle, go buy the nickel loaf of bread, do what I had to do to keep the family together, during the day while my dad was a blue-collar worker and so was my mom. It was the life I wanted. Mm-hmm. And it came to me. And you don't have to be 21 or 30 to know how to realize that. It just happens.
Mm-hmm. So what, if you were at 93, looking back at some of the more challenging times in your life, because everybody has them, and who knows, you might be reaching out to somebody on this podcast who's going through a very rough time in their life. If you can remember one of the harder moments in your life where in the moment you felt overwhelmed, what would your advice as the wise woman today, what would your advice be to that overwhelmed younger version of you?
You know, I don't think at that time, excuse me, that we had any idea what we're talking about at that age today. It is such a different world. And I can remember raising all the kids for whatever reason. And I just have to tell them, guys, I don't know that music, I don't know that vocalist, I don't know anything for 20 years of my life. All I did was cook, clean, wash, repeat, 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 because I had a job to do, and although I loved every minute of it, it was a challenge. So to be 5 years old, 8 years old, 20 years old, or 93, it doesn't matter. You do what you set out to do to the best of your ability. You watch that face that's looking back at you in the mirror, and if it can smile at you, great. But you still keep doing what you're doing.
To the best of your ability, there's a book out there called The Four Agreements. And one of his four agreements is always do your best.
Absolutely.
Always do your best. And your best might be different on Monday, and it might be different on Thursday, but it's your best.
It is. And if it pleases you, and I don't want to sound like I'm bending my elbow and patting myself on the back. But out of those years that I can look in the mirror and say, I lost it as far as external things, I certainly didn't lose it.
What do you mean by that?
I could care who was singing, so long as it wasn't. I'll turn Willie Nelson on anytime and laugh about it. But the new people coming up didn't sing like I did, didn't dance like I did, and I had too much on my plate to give it a second thought. I just put it on the shelf and said, one day they'll be grown and happy. And that made me happy.
So basically what you're saying is you didn't let other people tell you how to feel or how to dance or how to sing.
Absolutely not. They can do their thing. I'm going to do mine when it comes time.
I love that. So, but for those people who are going through a difficult time in their life, what advice, as a 93-year-old mom, what advice would you have for them?
Oh, dear me. That is a really difficult question. I don't know that my advice would fit them today. It worked for me when I was middle-aged and raising a family. But today, the advice would be, gosh. It sounds redundant to say wake up in the morning, have a good day, and go to bed at night, because there's a whole day to fill. But if you're going to make a meatloaf, make the best meatloaf you know how to make. If you're going to go see a movie, pick it carefully and make sure you enjoy it. Think about what you're going to do, but don't let it alter your plans to have a good day.
So basically, mindset.
Mindset, and, you know, I don't care if we're 30, 40, 70, or 90. If we've got a choice of three movies to go see, I'm hoping that the people that are taking me take into account that my desire matters. If they're taking me to the movies and I want to see Elvis, please let me go see Elvis. Don't try to talk me into something new and today. I'm important at 93, and just because I lost a few years in the middle because I was so busy doesn't matter at this point in life. And I know my kids would do that. They've done it. They've taken me to see Avatar when I didn't even know what was happening.
You know why? Because Dad wanted to see Avatar.
Yes.
Dad won that one.
You always are important to yourself and hopefully to the people that you have raised. And again, hopefully they've turned out happy and I can meet my maker and say I did a good job.
Okay, so I had to take you in, or the family had to take you in recently. This is going to surprise some people. And if you want me to cut this part out later, I will, but I'll ask it anyway. We had to take you into the hospital recently because your physical body wasn't cooperating.
Correct.
And there were all kinds of issues that now that you're on the other side of them, we can look back and say, you probably should not have survived to this point, but you did.
Exactly.
So,
and strangely enough, and I know what your question's going to be, yes, I knew I was sick. Yes, I had a problem. Yes, I wanted to take a nap every 3 hours of day or night. And yes, there were things going on. Why I wasn't ready to face it, I don't know. But I had to wake up one morning and literally fall out of bed and think, oh my goodness, what did I just do? I crawled to the door, could not lift myself up on a chair, and waited for somebody to come by, which I knew they would do, and realize, honey, you're not a well person. If the kids want to get you help, now's the time to say yes.
Well, because we tried several times.
Oh, of course
times.
You tried. You tried. You wanted me to go see a doctor. I didn't want to do that, and I was stubborn. I did not have a clue how sick I really was.
Can we tell people how sick you were?
What?
Can we tell them how sick you were?
Uh-huh.
So Mom had two different forms of sepsis, pneumonia, an ulcer, colon cancer, intestinal cancer, and some other bacterial infection at 93. At 93. And I remember sitting in the hospital and my mom was looking at the ER and all of the nurses and the doctors were bustling about. And she picked up on one person in particular who was working his little tail off. And they had given her a popsicle. They had given my mom a popsicle at the time because she was hungry and wanted something, you know, maybe the popsicle tasted good and it gave her something to do. And she pointed toward this one nurse and she says, "Honey, go get him for me." So I went and I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, "You don't know me and you don't know my mom, but she wants to talk to you." So this nurse, he couldn't have been maybe 25, young kid. Nurse came over and he says, "Ma'am, do you need something?" And my mom said, "I am watching you work so hard. I want to give you my popsicle." And she handed him her popsicle. And normally he says, "Ma'am, that normally doesn't happen. Normally people tap me on the shoulder to yell at me or to tell me I need something or to do something." He says, "Nobody's ever tapped me on the shoulder to give me their popsicle." And my mom said, "Because I wanted to show you that I saw you and that I appreciate you and that you're doing a good job, and so I wanted to give you my popsicle." And you could have seen his whole face melt. And of course, my heart melted, and I thought, well, that's my mom. So even in your probably sickest moments in the ER, you could recognize somebody doing a good job and want to reward them for doing their best.
Well, that sounds like something I might do.
Do you remember that?
I remember. Yes, but when you just said, "Give me my popsicle," why would he want my popsicle if I'm licking on
you
it?
You did not open the popsicle.
It was not an open popsicle. That's just to clear the record.
It was not an open popsicle, correct. But she gave him her unopened popsicle.
I will have to say that the hospital I was in, although it be small town hospital, were so good to me. And I thought, why have I been fighting this? I had an awesome surgeon. Mm-hmm. I had an awesome family come visit me, and they did it regularly. I was there for close to a month. And as much as I thought I would hate it, but there were times that I didn't like it so much. I didn't like getting x-rays and getting CAT scans and all that stuff. There's part of it you don't like, but when you come right down to it, I could not pass a nurse's station. But what they waved to me made me feel appreciated, necessary, and too bad, honey, we'll get the colonoscopy. No, that's the wrong word. The CAT scan. Mm-hmm. Another time, and they were as good to me as I was to them.
That's right.
And what goes out comes back.
That's the boomerang. So, Mom, one of the reasons why your nurses loved you so much is because you loved them so much.
Exactly. In fact, I'm here now with a card from one, and somebody's always going to want to come and clean up my desk. And I said, "Leave that one alone. That one is special." She's a gal that came and talked to me after I had been discharged with several words of good
encouragement
to pass on to me to keep in my mind. And I just, the experience was not a bad one. It was good experience.
I remember the night before your surgery, because you had to have a section of your colon removed, and the night before your surgery, your anesthesiologist came in to explain what was going to happen the next day. But before she got into all of that, she said, Dolores, they called you Dolores. "Dolores, you're 93 years old. What is your secret?" And you told her, "Oh, that's easy, honey. Never embrace the negative and be grateful every chance you can." And that almost stopped her in her tracks, because it sounds so simple, but it's not always easy for people to do that.
Well, if it hadn't been easy, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
But we're not here to sing the lyrics in a song or write a note to somebody. We're not here to do that. We're here to be real. And I would have not said it had it not been real.
Mm-hmm.
Because that just wouldn't be me.
Well, I'm pretty sure that for 95% of your life, you do that. You embrace the positive, and you are grateful.
Yep, I do. Sorry, and, can't help it.
Well, and I think that might be why you're 93 and still here.
I think probably so. With as much as 90 years has changed my life, there's a few things I might change in it, but nothing real,
mm-hmm.
nothing that means anything. So here I am in the hospital wondering what all these big words are that the doctors and nurses are throwing at me. And there's a couple laughing points that I could use. Find the humor in what's going on, if it's at all possible.
Can I share one of the funny ones?
Sure you can.
So at one point when her blood work came back, the nurse came in and looked at my mom and she said, "Well, you have sepsis." And my mom looked at me with the widest eyes I'd ever seen. And she looked at me and she says, "How did I get that?" And I said, "I don't know, Mom. I'm actually, let's listen to the doctor and see what they say." And so the doctor's going on and on with their diagnosis and how they're going to treat the sepsis and whatnot. And Mom looks at me when the doctor leaves and she says, "Honey, how did I get it?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't know how you got it. Maybe it was a tear in your intestines. I don't know." And she goes, No. "How did I get a sexually transmitted disease?" And I looked at her and I said, "What?" And she says, "Sepsis is a sexually transmitted disease." And I laughed probably about as hard as anyone could laugh. And they were all coming in from the nurse's station. And I said, "Mom, you have sepsis, not syphilis." Well, she laughed and I laughed and we were laughing in the middle of that hospital room for a good 2 or 3 minutes. I texted all of my family because I knew they would get a kick out of it. And all of a sudden she's like, "Oh, phew, that makes sense." So even in the midst of her feeling as crappy as you could possibly have felt, you and I laughed about that.
That just seemed so real to me at the time.
You thought, "How did I get that? I haven't done that in years." So.
Okay. That it kind of sums it up. How did I get to 93? Not in the best of health, and I'll admit that. But not in the worst either, along with all the bad things that awesome doctor took out of my middle. He left me with a decent scar that, well, I can be proud of it. And he got rid of a lot of stuff that was in there. Unfortunately, he couldn't get rid of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But he got rid of enough that, I'm going to smile a little bit, I'm in a good place.
Gave you more time.
Hmm?
He gave you more time.
He gave me more time. He gave me an opportunity to, well, whoever thought I'd be in front of a podcast thing. I don't even know what a podcast is, but with that, I've learned a lot, I've had a lot, I've been given a lot. They gave me an awesome 93-year-old birthday party. When I say they, I mean my kids and I mean all of them. Life is good.
What's your favorite thing about being a mom?
Favorite thing about being a mom It's funny you should ask that. I can remember asking a girlfriend of mine, because I got married in high school and I had kids young. But that's what we did in the 40s and 50s. And she got married and had a kid. And I went to visit her and her baby in the buggy, mm-hmm. which is what we had then. And the baby was sitting up, could just mouth a few words, and that baby called this friend of mine, Mom. And I thought, has to be the most wonderful sound in the world. Mm. And I can remember that today. I haven't even thought about it for years. But when that young child called her mom, I thought, oh man, I'm going to hear that one day.
Well, you heard it a lot.
Now I hear it a lot. Sometimes I want to say, huh, honey, and sometimes I want to say, what? Because it rides the boat both ways. But I did do what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. and nobody tried to stop me.
I don't know that they could have. I remember when the surgeon came in the day before your surgery to have some of your colon removed. They were trying to explain the surgery to you, and I drew a picture of the colon and all that. And he said, "Dee, there's a chance that you might end up with an exterior bag." And you said, "There's a chance that I won't." And he said, "Yes, that's true. I'm just trying to set the expectation." And you looked at him and you said, "I just need to know what you're going to do, because tonight when I go to sleep, I'm going to visualize the surgery the way I want it to go." And he says, "Well, we're going to cut here and we're going to cut here. And if all goes well, we're going to stitch here." And you said, "Okay." And he said, "But I just need to let you know that there's a chance it won't go that way." And he left the room, and you looked at me, and you said, "It's going to go the way I want it to go. Watch me."
I guess I had a little streak in me that was, shall we say, impassable.
Well, it worked, because you got the surgery outcome you wanted.
Yeah, I did get the actually, I got an oncologist that I thought, okay, with all of this going on inside me, if the world thinks I need an oncologist, I don't know how to spell it or what to call it, but I'll go for it. And I just had my third oncology telephone conversation with her last week. And although she's fine, she's well qualified, she's been doing this for years, I was told there was no change. In fact, if there is any change, it's for the worst. She didn't say the worst, but the least positive. And I said, "You call it what you want to call it, I'll call it what I want to call it." Mm-hmm. And I thanked her for her time, and it was a good conversation. I could let go of oncology, whatever that means, and continue on with the only me I know.
Which is?
You get what you think about, keep positive thoughts, have a good time, love those kids. You know what? I've said things to those kids that could be hurting without meaning to. But we all open our mouths someday and the wrong words come out. We can't take them back. All we can do is say, it will never happen again. Mm-hmm. And move on from there.
So what do you want to tell all of your kids? I am the baby, and I have the good fortune of managing this podcast, of hosting this podcast. What do you want to tell all your kids out there?
What do I want to tell them all?
All your kids, all your grandkids, all your kids' spouses, if they have them.
It's never too late to either say, I haven't been doing this right, and I'm going to change my mind. Or, Mom, does it really take 15 hours in a crock pot to cook a brisket? And I'm going to say, yes, honey, it does.
Uh-huh.
So it's go along with them, follow their wishes, follow their dreams, but be part of their life because they're living it. And I'm living mine. But don't ask me how long to cook something in the oven if you don't want the answer, because you're going to get the answer from me.
One of the things that I said at my wedding, I've been married almost, I've been married a long time, almost together 21 years, and I remember one of the things that I said to both you and Dad at my wedding was a thank you to my parents for always giving me a lot of room. You always gave me a lot of room to go left when you sure wanted to see me go right, to make a choice that you didn't agree with, to not have children when you thought for sure I should have children, whatever. You always gave me room to be me. And I think I can speak for myself on that, and I think my siblings would agree. You always gave us a lot of room.
Well, what I said to you in my own way was the seventh time to say a similar sentence, because my oldest is, I don't know how many years older than you, but when he wanted to leave home at 19 and go make his future, I stood at the airport window and I cried.
Mm-hmm.
19. He made it. He made it an awesome career. He did his lifelong dream, and
he was a dancer for the New York City Ballet.
He was New York City Ballet, started at Tap in Hollywood with one of our favorite people, our tap dancing teacher. But when he was told, sorry, honey, you're too old to do this, he just put my words into his mouth and said, watch me.
Mm.
And that was my oldest, and he's today, I don't know, 72, 74, something like that, has enjoyed a beautiful life. But when you believe something as strongly as I believe, it does filter off to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember saying to him a year before that 19th birthday, do me one favor. Give me 1 year of advanced schooling, which meant college at that time. And he said, I don't want to do it. And I said, I'm only asking, you don't have to. And he said, okay, I will. It's been in the later years that he said, I learned so much in that year to say thank you for. And I said, that makes me feel good.
I like how you put that. You don't have to, I'm just asking you to, because you still gave him a lot of room to make his own choices.
I absolutely did. He didn't have to do it.
Yep.
It was a favor to me that he chose to take.
Right. Well, I can tell you as one of your kids, you and Dad both have always been cheerleaders, some of our biggest cheerleaders.
We've been what, honey?
Some of my biggest cheerleaders.
Oh, absolutely.
Watching me from afar, and I know my siblings can support me on this, is if we said, hey, we want to go and open a business doing this, you never said, psh, good luck, you can't do that. You would say, wonderful, honey, I can't wait to watch you do it.
Right.
So as a kid, yes, I can tell you, it filtered down to me.
Yep.
Yep. So what are you most grateful for?
I think you've just been listening for me long enough to know where my gratefulness comes from. I'm grateful to be here today. I still have some things I want to pass on to my family, but you do those things daily as they present themselves. You don't force an issue.
Ooh, that's a good one. You don't force an issue.
Mm-hmm. As how many times I've looked at my face, and at 93, there are better faces. But I look at my face and say, take that frown off, honey. You need to smile.
Mm.
And when I do, I feel so much better.
All that.
Okay, my youngest daughter, who is monitoring this podcast, had no idea what it would mean to her. But she must have looked in the mirror, because that's what I've taught her to do, and said, this is what I'm here to do, and this is what I'm going to do, because I've caused a tear to her, and she's caused a tear to me. But we keep on going, right, Don?
We do.
Yep.
We sure do.
Nothing comes without, shall I say, emotion. And if you feel like a tear, shed a tear.
Yeah.
If you feel like a smile, shed a smile. I promise you there will be more smiles than tears. Mm-hmm. And that's my, how did I get to be 93? I could get to 93, and I could get further, or I could get less. I do have a higher power. And when things get tough, I just look up and say, it's in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever intend to lose that higher power.
Good.
You call it what you want to call it, I'll call it what I want to call it. But there's an angel on my shoulder. There's the good Lord above. And I'm here to please all of those people.
That's good. So, when your time comes to cross to that other side and be with Dad again, and your mom, and your sister, and
right.
your dad, and all of these people, sort of a cool feeling to know that you've got family that loves you on both sides.
Oh, they're going to have a party.
Yes, indeed.
No, I do believe that.
Yep. Well, I remember when I asked you if you wanted to do this podcast, you said, that would be nice because I was thinking about writing a book and this will take a lot less time.
Anything for quick.
All right. So all of these podcasters, these listeners, and they listen from all over the globe. What's your, anything else you want to leave them before we wrap up this podcast?
All I can say is, you know what? I can say it just very briefly. I did not at age 50, 60, 70 say, I'm going to live to be 93. But there is longevity in my family. And I would say, I'd like to get as old as, let's say, Granny Great or this other granny. And you know what? They made it to good long years. And if I'm meant to do it, that's fine. If not, I have to meet them on the other side too, because they'll be there. Mm-hmm. But the crossing over isn't just for old people.
Mm-hmm.
How fortunate. Am I fortunate? Am I asking you a question? You better believe I'm fortunate, and I don't plan to spend another minute not being fortunate, not being happy where I am. You got that, Dawn?
I got it, Mom. I got it.
Okay. With a big smile. That's how I got to 93. And now that I'm in 2024, the next one is 94. So we'll see what happens. It may be tomorrow, but it may be 94. So
I'll
have a good time and smile and laugh at what faces you.
Very good. That's very good advice, Mother.
Okay.
All right. Well, I would like to thank all of you for indulging my mom and I in this podcast. For selfish reasons, I will love having this podcast live on and 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 on. Long after she goes and joins my dad and until I get to see them again. But I get to hear her voice when I want, and I get to remember her advice when I want, and that will be precious to me.
Thank you, honey. I love you.
Love you too.